gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of NGL Finchem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks conclude. Should you need any assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephones. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Farah. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of NGL Finchem Limited. The results and investor update have been uploaded on the stock exchanges. To take us through the results of the quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Rahul Nachne, Managing Director, and Mr. Rajesh Lavande, Full-Time Director and Chief Financial Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the financial performance, which will then be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we've mentioned in our annual reports. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to NGL Finchem Limited's Q4 and FY26 earnings call. Thank you for joining us today and for taking the time to review our investor presentation and financial results, which have already been uploaded on the stock exchanges. Let me begin with a brief review of our performance for the quarter and the full year. Q4 FY26 was a strong quarter for the company, reflecting continued improvement in our operating performance. Revenue from operations for the quarter stood at 124.23 crores compared to 94.97 crores in Q4 FY25, registering a growth of 57% year-on-year. On a sequential basis, revenues grew by 17% over Q3 FY26. This growth was primarily driven by higher volume across our product portfolio and geographies, supported by improved capacity utilization. EBITDA for the quarter came in at 21.41 crores as against 6.32 crores in Q1 FY25. EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 14.35%, an expansion of 769 basis points over the same quarter last year. Profit after tax for the quarter was 13.49 crores compared to 0.54 crores in Q4 FY25. This was the third consecutive quarter of strong improvement in our operating performance. The recovery that we are seeing is broad-based with healthy traction across our portfolio and markets. This gives us confidence in the resilience of our business and the demand outlook for our products. Moving to the full performance for FY26, revenue from operations stood at 500.95 crores compared to 368.26 crores in FY25, reflecting a growth of 36%. EBITDA for the year was 72.69 crores against 33.87 crores for the previous year, more than doubling on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin for FY26 stood at 14.5%, an improvement of 531 basis points over FY25. Profit after tax for the year stood at 48.13 crores compared to 21.12 crores in FY25, a growth of 128%. FY26 has clearly been a year of recovery for the company. After three challenging years, we have returned to a stronger growth trajectory with improving operational performance and better business momentum. During the quarter, we continued to face some external challenges. Geopolitical developments led to an increase in freight costs and raw material prices. Since a part of our business operates under fixed price contracts, these cost increases could not be passed on immediately to customers. In addition, forex movements resulted in mark-to-market provisions as also mark-to-market provisions on investments, which had some impact on margins during the quarter. As a result, while margins were sharply higher on a year-on-year basis, they were marginally lower sequentially. I am pleased to share that we have already been able to secure a partial price through with customers in the first quarter of the current financial year. Along with the continued volume momentum, this should support margin improvement going forward. On the capacity expansion front, phase one of our ongoing expansion program is now contributing meaningfully to operations. The higher volumes during the quarter were comfortably absorbed with this expanded capacity, which reflects our readiness for further growth. With respect to phase two of the greenfield expansion at Tarapur, we did face certain delays during the quarter due to shortage of gas and labor, which affected the pace of construction. As a result, commissioning of Phase 2, which was earlier expected in Q1 FY27, is now scheduled for early Q2 FY27. However, we remain on track to commence commercial production from the second half of financial year, as previously guided. Of the total planned capex of 210 crores, we have invested 182.75 crores up to Q4 FY26. In terms of business mix, animal API continues to be the core of our business and contributed 95% of revenue during the quarter. Our customer and product concentration remains well diversified, with the top 10 customers accounting for 29% of sales and the top 10 products contributing 66% of sales. To summarize, FY26 has been a year of clear recovery, marked by strong volume-led growth, healthy margin expansion, and steady progress on our capacity expansion plans. We are entering FY27 with good operational momentum, expanded Phase 1 capacity already in place, in service, and Phase 2 progressing towards commissioning. With partial price through already achieved and volume traction continuing, we are confident of building on this performance in the coming quarters. With this, I will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star followed by one on the touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to please use only handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Rahul. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So my first question is, we talked about, Unit 1 contributing significantly now to volumes. Our understanding was that, Unit 1 was merely a clean room for validation batches in order to kind of squeeze the timeline. So if you can help us understand that Unit 1 capacity coming in, what kind of, revenue run rate we can do, even without Unit 2, if you can talk about that.
You're asking about the Phase 1 and Phase 2, correct?
Yeah. I'm talking about Phase 1. I thought it was more for validation batches and clean room, was more for kind of, preparing us for the launches and squeeze the timeline. So not much of incremental volume was to come from Phase 1 is our understanding. If you can help us understand, how should we look at the volume build-up in Phase 1 of the new plant?
Yeah, so in Phase 1, you are right. We had put up a small volume section for doing the validation batches. But we had also put in an intermediate plant.
Okay.
In the Phase 1. So production has gone up because the we were able to produce more intermediates over here. Plus, we have also increased our outsourcing. So with these two things, we have been able to get a good, strong volume growth. And Phase 2 is a total of 5 clean rooms that will come into, should be commissioned in the next quarter.
Okay. Got it. So this 150 crore kind of a run rate plus whatever somewhat, 10-15% growth on that can be catered through, the Phase 1 and the outsourcing put together. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, that is what we have achieved right now, correct.
Sir, on the Phase 2 part of it, I think, whenever we kind of commercialize in the S2 of this year, the idea was that we will, try to do regulated market business here, but it is contingent upon product site transfer happening and US FDA coming and hence the Europe plus US business scaling up. So, till the time that happens, how should we look at the capacity utilization of Phase 2 unit, and on the same note, any sense on timeline for the US FDA inspection for the products that we had filed which would have triggered the US FDA audit? So just a question on Phase 2.
Yeah, so we have already started filing our VMS,
Yeah.
And we are in discussion with some customers, and they have already started evaluating our products. Samples have been sent across to them. They are running trials with those products, and they will file with us as additional supplier. And once they file it, it triggers the audit. So we go to the queue, then based on, you know, availability from the U.S. FDA team, the queue will, the audit will get triggered. So that can happen anytime within the current year or probably next year also, because it depends entirely on the regulator. So there is no control that we can exercise over that for the sale.
Okay, but so by the time, let's say if it happens next year or towards the end of the year, how should we look at the utilization of the phase two without US FDA in place? What kind of markets we think we can scale up the phase two or utilize the phase two capacity with?
So we will be manufacturing our regular products. We have got good demand growth going right now for in the existing markets also. So part of the capacity will get used for funneling that volume. And we are fairly advanced currently in with European registration right now. So we anticipate that business to start coming in towards the last half of this year.
Okay. So we will use that for ROW plus Europe in the time US FDA comes in.
Correct, yeah.
And the last question, I'll come back in the queue. You talked about the Forex losses. Is that, can we quantify that number?
I don't have that number with me right now, but it's basically mark-to-market provisioning.
Right.
So I will need to check on that. I don't have it with me.
Okay, okay. Great. I'll come back in the queue. More questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishan Thakkar from Fort Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. So we currently have three CEPs registered in Europe. So earlier you had indicated that another three CEPs were under review and additional filing were planned until March 2026. And also guided towards achieving a total 8 CEPs approval by the end of CY26. Could you please share the running status of these approvals and the expected timeline going forward?
Currently, we have, as you rightly said, we have three approved, three are under review, and two are being prepared for submission in the current quarter. Those three were submitted way back in the first quarter of last calendar year. And currently, they are taking probably in the range of something like 18 months to give it. So we expect it to come through in the second half of calendar year 26.
Okay. Total 8 CEPs will be FY20, right?
Three more are expected by the end of this calendar year.
Okay. And one more?
No, and two more are being filed in the current year. But that should come through only in 27. So let me give you this way. We have currently got five DMFs registered and three CEPs, which are already done and registered. We have got four more DMFs, which are filed and which are under review. And we have got three CEPs, which are under review. So that makes it, by the end of this year, we are hopeful of getting a total of 6 CEPs and 9 DMFs. That covers most of our products, top of our products.
So the current participant got disconnected. We'll move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations, Rahul, and your entire team for a wonderful performance. A couple of questions. One, with regards to the CAPEX. For our phase two CAPEX, initially we had talked about 160 crores. And in the previous quarter presentation, you have mentioned about increasing that CAPEX from 160 crores to 210 crores. So, sir, this additional 50 crores, Basically, are we adding some more capacity, or how much of it will be the additional capacity being done, and how much of it will be the cost run? So from 160 to 210. That is my first question.
Yes. So the total increase is of 50 crores. Close to about 20 crores is the increase due to some higher level of automation and digitization which we have done in the plant. And roughly about 30 crores is due to increase in the cost of metals.
And you mentioned that the effect on this 210 crores will be somewhere around two times.
No, this may be really not result in additional sales.
And so with regards to the recovery, in terms of, you have mentioned in the presentation that you have had some partial price hikes have been done. So typically, what kind of price hikes you have been taken, and what further do you anticipate to take to cover the kind of cost inflation which has happened due to the environment?
The price increase depends on each product separately. And basically, whatever the increase in cost has been, we have tried to keep it fair by price, which is cost pass on for price increase. So it varies from product to product.
So on average, maybe you've spoken about coming back to the margins. So are we talking about somewhere around 17-18% EBITDA margins band? Because our gross margins have been quite decent.
Yeah, so as meaning we have maintained 15-18% is a level which we want to get to our EBITDA. We are fairly close to that particular, close to that band right now.
Sure. And the last one, the other expenses have seen a sharp increase in the current quarter, almost about 10-11 crores is the increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So I understand some part of it will be related to FX. Is there some additional cost due to also the new plant or some product registration which has come in, which is kind of a one-off and not would not be a regular expense?
Mainly mark-to-market provisioning on forex and investments.
Okay. So just one request, if you could share those details, maybe in the result as a by way of a note or in the presentation, that would be really helpful.
Yeah,
I have some more questions, but I'll come back in the queue, and all the best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the very good set of numbers and for length and very good commentary. The best we have seen, the most bullish we have seen over the past 3-4 years. So, sir, if you can broadly talk about the demand environment, you alluded about it in your opening commentary as well as in the presentation. If you can elaborate a bit more on that, like is it the broad-based demand that we are seeing across geographies, across products, what is leading to this demand? Our top 3, 5, 10 products are doing well, or the products above, in the new products have started scaling up. So if you can elaborate more on that.
So today we are doing close to something like 45 APIs now, which is a substantial increase over probably about 3 years ago when we had just about 20 odd APIs in our product list. So we have doubled the pipeline in the last 3 years. Also, now we are able to penetrate and reach across different markets much more effectively. So we are now, Latin America has turned out to be a fairly success story for us. We have been able to get our product registered and accepted by a number of customers there. So overall, because of the broad-based larger product portfolio which we have got, and also better sales and marketing across different geographical functions, we have been able to improve our sales.
So like on specific the new products have started scaling up, and you know, like we've seen some reduction in our top 10 products contribution over the full year. So, like, then the new products which have started scaling up, and you know, is that happening? And on geography, apart from Latin, we have been alluding to in the past call also, but even in Africa and Southeast Asia, how is the demand, if you can talk about?
No, we have, as I said, we have seen volume growth across geographies. So there's been a good demand coming from all across the world currently.
Sure. And secondly, sir, on the competitive scenario, how is it currently? Because last three and a half, four years, we have seen significant increase in competitive intensity in India as well as from Chinese players. So, of course, in the developed markets, the competitive the competition is less. But even in the markets that we are largely serving today, how is the competitive scenario? And if you can talk about it.
The competitive scenario continues to be the same. There's a lot of competition in the market from Chinese as well as Indian companies. Everybody is able to trying to find their own feet on the ground. So there is no reduction in the competitive sector. But I presume that even the other companies, competitors are also doing well. Yeah, when the total demand improves, it's not unique only for us. It stretches across the entire spectrum.
Sure. And just for the new plant as you alluded to, you know, we'll be utilizing the new plant also for our existing business. Will that be largely for Latin America or for the other geographies also?
We don't look at just the geography. So we'll move certain products into that particular plant.
Okay.
So whichever geography that the demand will be, it will be serviced from that.
Sure. And so on the CEPs and the VMS that we are filing across US as well as Europe. So if you can elaborate on a bit on how is their market size? Are they largely 40-50 crore kind of products, 100-200 crore kind of products, and they're trying to take 10-20% of the market share over the next few years. So if you can elaborate a bit more on the market size of this products for which we have filed registrations and we are in the process of filing, how big can be some of these products in terms of market size, if you can elaborate a bit on that.
Most of the products which we do, there are significant companies already out there. Most of the suppliers already have two suppliers for each product. At times they may have a third supplier also. Our intention is to go with a value proposition by which they are able to diversify their portfolio and also go with the China Plus One strategy. In terms of market size for these products, there is no published data on each for each product that we can quote, and whatever proprietary information we have got, I would like to keep it with us only rather than disclosing the size. But whatever growth plans we have got in terms of getting to the sales, we are fairly confident of reaching those volumes over the next 2 years, 3 years.
So, and just last question on the performance going ahead. So should we assume that 150 crore quarterly run rate becomes a base for us going forward with new capacities also coming in, demand also significantly improving in our existing markets?
Yeah, that is our aim, to get to a 150 plus sort of a situation. But it will take a little while for it to stabilize at those levels. So
stabilize at higher level or 150 crore?
Pardon?
stabilize at higher levels when we...
It should take a little while, probably 1 or 2 quarters to stabilize at that level and then go higher.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anish.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Preet Jain from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is, pre-expansion peak revenue potential was indicated at 3,400 crores. You have already crossed 500 crores in FY26 to outsourcing. So, post the new plant commissioning, what is the new peak revenue potential at full utilization? Is 800 crores a reasonable estimate?
Indicated earlier that with the new plant, we should be able to generate a turnover of between 350 to 400 crores.
Okay, sir. Hello, and my another question is, you mentioned that Bravecto patent expired in March 2025 and commercial launch happened in May 2025. Our data suggests at least 7 to 8 global players, including Nissan, Hycle, are manufacturing and inactive in similar APIs. So how many serious competitors have actually come to market since the patent expiry? And are you seeing meaningful price erosion in food and realizations, or it has already been done?
Which product did you refer to?
Food and Lar.
So I'm not aware whether Hycle and Sequent are doing this product. We haven't seen them much in the market for this. But there are a lot of Chinese companies manufacturing, and price erosion has already taken place. So it's more or less settled down at a long-term price. Further going down from here, we don't anticipate it to decrease significantly.
Okay. And sir, if you can help us understand the utilization of new plant on annual basis, if we are witnessing such good volume growth, how can we quickly increase the outsourcing? And what is the current outsource contribution in our revenue?
So we outsource mainly intermediates. So finished products are all manufactured by us. So in terms of volume of intermediates, probably we are outsourcing currently about 20% of what we require.
And on the capacity utilization side, what will be the utilization of new plant on annual basis?
It is, the phase one is now more or less operational at about 70-80%. Phase two is yet to go on stream.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm fairly new to the company, so apologies if the questions are repetitive. I just wanted to understand, you mentioned that from the new plant, we can generate revenue of around 350-400 crores, and from the existing plant, we've done around 490 crores of revenue. So is it safe to assume that we can, our overall top line with the new capacity, once it reaches it, he can be around 890 crores?
I think I've indicated I would not like to put this together. So, yeah.
Okay, understood. And we've already done CapEx of around 182 crores for our capacity expansion in Q2 only. What is the CapEx that we anticipate in FY27?
CapEx on the project will get over as we indicated at about 210 crores. And normal CapEx which we incur is in the range of about 15 to 20 crores.
Okay, understood. And how fast can we scale up to the peak utilization in, from phase two as well?
We would assume it will take us about 3 to 4 years.
3 to 4 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Dave from Samvad Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for providing the opportunity. Am I, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks a lot. My question is, first of all, congratulations on scaling of business and also to sail through the difficult time. One broad question is, like, we have highlighted CapEx and it's almost kind of 30 crore which is outstanding to be spent as per the presentation. Now, we are with debt of around, say, 100 or crore. So what would be the management view on capital allocation policy, say, 3 years kind of it? Like, you would have a 30 to 40 crore cash flow, free cash flow as per the current business operation. So 100 crore kind of debt, but because we see constantly no improvement in dividend, it's being fixed at that one amount. So I just want your management views on capital allocation and whether we are looking at some further capital.
What was the question here exactly?
My question So my question, we have 35 to 40 crore of cash flow coming every year. We have debt outstanding of 100 crore, approximately. So then if I assume like the 10 crore kind of incremental capex coming because of expansion we got today, so we'll be having broadly 50 crore capex by end of the FY28. And then what we will do with cash flow? Because despite a significant growth, I understand we have done a large capex, so we couldn't receive dividends. But after this capex, do you intend to increase dividend or do buybacks or something like that? Or you have some plan for capex?
So currently, we are funding the entire increase in cost also, not by doing additional borrowing, but by internal. So cash flows are required for funding this.
Yeah, that is perfectly fine. I'm not having an issue on that part, and you have been better actually in maintaining your equity and doing capital. And looking at 3 years down the line, because then you will be having a significant free cash flow available. So what is your thought on this part? I'm assuming 2 days, 2 years, being repaying your debt as well. Because even if you are generating 30, 35 crore, 40 crore, you have 100 crore debt, so probably that would require to pay net. But say 2 years down the line, then what is the management cost of it? Whether we will see some up?
Frankly, we have not thought about our dividend strategy of 3 years down.
Okay. Fine. Thanks, Wish you all luck.
Thank you. Participants with questions may enter star followed by one on your handset. The next question is from the line of Tanmay from 360 One Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. I wanted to ask about the US API FDA. There was supposed to be an audit triggering in FY27 and commercial production also to commence in FY27. Can you comment on the same?
We have started filing our products. VMFs have been filed starting from second half of last calendar year. Till now, we have filed five VMFs already. And in the current year, there is a plan to file another six. And we have already started engaging with customers. As I said, they have started evaluating our samples, running pilot batches with our product, which will then go into stability and some clinical trials. And based on that, they will apply to US FDA to add us as an additional source. And once they do the filing, that should trigger the inspection requirement from the US FDA. And then based on their schedule, they will do the inspection. So,
any timeline on the same?
Pardon?
Sorry, any timeline on the same?
Unfortunately, the regular does not give a timeline on this. So it can be anytime this year or it may be even next year.
Okay. And since we have passed on all the cost that escalated to the customers from Q1. Can you give any margin guidance on the EBITDA impact?
Let me correct that. We have been partially successful in passing on price increase, not fully successful. So that was the first one. And secondly, as I said, our intention is to get to a EBITDA margin level of between 15% and 18%, and we are fairly close to that at the current level.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ayush Mittal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. First of all, congratulations on the good top-line growth that we have been doing. I want to understand more about the margin profile that we should expect going forward, given that the oil prices have risen very sharply, so have so many of the chemical commodity costs. We have talked about a partial price increase, but like in past, if we see, whenever oil prices increase, the margins are sub 15-odd percent. How do you expect them for coming couple of quarters given the current environment?
See, it's a little bit difficult to predict what can happen in the short term. But
given today, how the things are, barring that further increases happen or something like that, given where we are today and the price increase that we have taken, based on that, what kind of profile do we see? We are achieving currently, maybe.
Yeah, so for some products, you know, where we compete with China, China did not increase their prices at all in April and May. March and April. They were able to keep the same price levels, which was very surprising for us. But we see now that they have started, you know, they have started reacting, and there is a increase in prices coming from China also. So, partial price recovery is done, and we hope that the competitive scenario remains the same for everyone. Everybody is buying the same materials at higher prices. Probably China had larger stocks of the material, and therefore there was no sharp increase. But we really were clueless about that. So, but we can see that price increases have started coming in from China also, which is a big relief to us. And as I said, going forward, we expect to reach a EBITDA level of between 15% and 18%.
Okay. And can you, like, for the whole basket of products, some kind of percentage indication you can give, like, how much of price increase has happened? Is it 5%, 10%, 15%? How much of price increase has been done?
That is a little bit of, market sensitive knowledge
I'm saying, like, overall for the...
Let me put it, partially it's gone through. So, and I'm saying that our margin guidance is unchanged. So, I guess you can draw your parallel from that.
Okay. So, second thing is, like, we have been doing this large expansion, and we are moving towards the regulated market thing. Can you give us a sense that by when do you think that some material numbers success will start coming, and by when should we be able to reach our aim to utilize the new capacity that we have created? And also, as of today, what kind of margin profile are you seeing on this side of business?
Significant, maybe I anticipate significant sort of revenue starting only from the next financial year, that is 27-28. Margin profile in the end works out to a similar sort of a thing only, because OPEX also at times goes up. And price decreases which took place in the last 3 years, 2 years especially, basically 24 and 25 we saw large price erosion. It started recovering a little bit now, and overall, margins remain more or less in the same area. So when it looks at there's probably a 3 to 5% higher margin profile that we can expect.
You mean 3 to 5% over your 15 to 18% band?
Yeah, and that will be only on those six, not on.
Of course. Yeah. So, if you have to assume, like, if we are aiming to do a say a conservatively a 800 crore number, out of this from regulated market, how much do we aim to do? Will it be like 200 crore? 250 crore, 150 crore, what kind of numbers do you expect we should start doing down 2 years or something?
I would like to not speculate on this because the registrations need to go through for all the products. The regular needs to come in, inspect and approve the facility. So I would be a little cautious in not, you know, giving you numbers on this. Let us wait for a couple of more quarters before we start committing to it. Once we see that, you know, the movement is taking place.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants with questions may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Naisar from Credent Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So you have added 5 new APIs in this quarter alone. So maybe over the next 2 to 3 years, how many new products you could add?
Currently, our budget is to add 10 products on a yearly basis, between 9 and 10. At times, if chemistry is relatively similar to what we are already doing, the number goes up. But our internal budget is to look at between 9 and 10.
Okay. And you have added 47 new customers in this quarter alone. Maybe can you talk a bit more about it? Because this is a very big number in just one quarter. So maybe can you explain more in detail?
We are now selling across better or better penetration in all the geographies which we are selling. That is the only reason for the customer number going up.
So basically one customer, let's say he was buying in one country and he starts buying for some other country, you will count it as one more customer?
Yes. If it's a multinational company, yes. Each country where they start buying, because the registration and approval process is different for each country, that becomes a new customer.
Okay. And also, Rahul, while you have done a great job, but in last few presentations, I have seen that, you know, you continue to cater to 5 of top 10, you know, companies worldwide. What could be the reasons why we are not able to achieve a breakthrough in, you know, those 5 companies? What could be the reasons?
Some companies don't want to change their supply chain so easily. They look for a substantial saving before they change. So it's a question of time, I guess. Sooner or later, we will be able to start catering to them also.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on really managing tough period and coming out. You know. So most of the questions have been answered. So just one clarification, I think I think you mentioned that the regulated sales will start from FY28. I think to an earlier question you had said that Europe probably will start somewhere in 27 as well, I mean, last quarter. So just wanted to understand, just wanted to clarify this.
Yeah. Europe, we expect to start selling to Europe in the current year and US in the next year.
Okay, so essentially you're saying that there will be some contribution from regulated markets, but the majority will happen in 28. Is that how one should read it?
That's right, yeah.
Right. And in terms of, sir, on just sort of go back to the margins, so of course, I mean, without the regulated business, we did, I mean, I would look at the majority of the last, I mean, between FI 15 to 21, 22, I'm not going about the high margin that we did post-COVID, but even before that, we were doing 20-21% kind of margins on a fairly regular basis. Given that we, excluding the regulated business for a minute, do you think those margins are tough to get back to, or because of competition, or is this, you're saying the demand is coming back for everybody and it's like now things are improving, so just wanted to get more sense on that.
So we were seeing a classical oversupply situation in which led to a lot of price erosion in 24 and 25, and you know that's definitely been a dampener on attaining higher margin profitability. Now, whether this changes and we find a situation where demand is now outgoing supply, I think it is still probably a few years off, because China's known to have capacity, a huge amount of capacity, and also in India also there has been capacity expansion. So I'm not too sure that we can see those return to those numbers at least in the next near term, at least 2-3 years.
Got it, sir. Got it. That is it from my side, sir. Thank you very much and all the best, and congratulations on a very good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants with questions may please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Dhwani Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again, sir. Two questions. So one is, sir, if we, in terms of product portfolio, I think, you know, after large animals, we were focusing on the companion animal side. So if you can talk about, you know, out of the products that we have currently around 43, how many of them are on the companion animal side, and typically in the regulated market, companion animal business is a, you know, significantly larger and growing faster also. So in terms of the VMS that we are filed or are going to file, are we focusing on the companion animal side of the business? And tied to this would be a Flurazenil. We are the only one we were thinking in the India. So how the scale-up is happening on that product? If you can talk about that.
Yeah, so when we say that companion and animal health business is growing, it's mainly for the finished dose companies. It brings in more value for them. On API sale by side, there's really no great segregation between these two. It's just an API. A lot of the large animal APIs are also used for companion and animals also, like dewormers or supplements. What is unique is probably ticks. Acaricides is unique to companion animals. And Flurazenil is one example of that. But for us, the volumes actually come from farm animals. Just to give you an example, a cow or a buffalo weighs 1,000 kilos and a dog weighs 40 kilos. So proportionately, the amount of medicine which a cow will consume will be far more than what a dog will. So for us, volume always comes from farm.
And on Flurazenil, sir, we thought it was a very large opportunity, and then Afaxalanil also coming in. So Lanners will be a large opportunity in the next 2-3 years. So how are we positioned there?
So we are also pretty optimistic on that. We have already got, meaning Sura Liner is now commercial. Foxo Liner Technologies is developed. We have also sampled this product extensively so that there are companies who will be ready to launch this when it goes out of patent in the next two and a half years, I think. So we are bullish on these markets. We see that market will also expand significantly in these products. Generic products have started coming into the market now. A lot of companies are offering these the Plural Liner as a drug. And price erosion has taken place significantly, but at the same time, the original inventor has also slashed their prices. So it will play out in the next 2 to 5 years. We are fairly confident it will be a good product for us.
And sir, second question on the ROW market. So, you know, even previously before we put up this capex or even after while we are in the process of putting up the capex, we always mentioned that idea is to continue to grow in the ROW market at whatever 15% kind of a number. Now, once currently we have, you know, the new capacity available till the time the regulated market business scales up in the new facility. But eventually for ROW market, because we are operating at a full capacity in the existing units, do we see a capex requirement for that, and are we kind of thinking along that line for the moment?
We have got some plans of doing expansions in our existing facilities. However, they are not for the current year. It's planned for the next financial year.
Okay.
So that will it will help us shore up our capacity for the ROW market.
Got it. It will be brownfield then, right? You are saying existing facility.
At our existing plant, yeah. Brownfield.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thanks. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I wanted to understand, you talked about 15 to 18% of margin possibility, but in FY26, we made much lesser margins. And given crude volatility, you said that things may not be looking that well and China hasn't taken much price hike. So what is making us confident to give us these numbers, 15 to 18% range?
We have been able to partially pass on the price increase. So we are fairly confident that it's needed. And as I said, we see that China has started raising prices now from the current month onwards. So that is what gives us the confidence.
So this margin range we expect to start from Q1 only, and things will start to stay in this range, is what am I understanding?
I would expect it to start from Q2 onwards. Q1, Michael, would really not be all that great, because we might see probably a 1-2% variation here or there, because price increases have started going through mainly from the current month.
Got it. And sir, in terms of volume expectation or growth expectation, what should we expect? Even Europe is also starting this year, and next year US also starts. So over, say, 1 to 2 years, when things recover, we improve in regulated side, how should we look at overall revenue growth for the company?
Well, we were also surprised by the revenue growth which we saw last year, because and initially for the first two quarters we were quite pretty cautious in saying that we need to see that this growth continues for at least 3 to 4 quarters before we can be sure, you know, that that demand is back. And we have seen that happen now for the last three quarters. growth is has been stable. We are seeing numbers go up. That gives us confidence of achieving the run rate, quarterly similar run rate for this year also.
Sure, sir. And sir, in terms of overall revenue potential at peak utilization, what is our number? Any range, sir?
Normally, we don't give forward-looking numbers, so I would be a little hesitant in giving that right now.
No, I'm just asking peak potential if full utilization happens.
So, from the new expansion, we expect to generate up to 350 crores turnover. So, and we should be able to get to that level over the next 3 to 4 years.
Sure, sir. Thank you, Anandas.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, you may enter star and one. As there are no further questions from participants, I hand the floor over to Mr. Rahul Nachane for closing comments.
Yeah, just give me a minute, please. Thank you all once again for your participation and for the thoughtful questions. We look forward to building the momentum of FY26 and update you on our progress in the quarters ahead. Thank you everyone for your time.
Thank you very much. On behalf of NGL Finechem Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.